We're going to, last Wednesday, we began talking about eternal promises and eternal realities. So let's kind of pick up with that again. The reason this came about is because of the definition of joy. And let's bring that up. Let's remind us of that first. Joy is a deep down sense of well-being. Again, well-being is safety, security, comfort. That abides, a deep down sense of well-being that abides, which means to live in, take up residence in, to dwell in, and it's settled in where? In the heart, not in the head, in the heart. It's gotten down into the heart, which is the inner person, the core of who you are. What's down in there? Who's that? It's in the heart of the person who knows. So joy is a deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows. Listen to all that quality, qualification. Who knows what? Who knows what? No, how do they know? With deep and abiding, settled assurance and absolute unshakable confidence. And what is that? That all is well between themselves and the Lord. We have peace with God. Remember that verse? We have peace with God. Joy is based on eternal realities, eternal promises. That's at the root of joy. And again, I know it's a reminder, joy is not happiness. Joy may affect feelings, but joy is not feelings. Do you see the difference? It may affect your feelings, but it is not feelings. And thank God it's not. As we've talked about this, practically speaking, you may not feel like doing anything. But joy, you can still have joy. Why? Because the eternal promises are still in existence. They're still there. These realities that are there, that God has made, are eternally real. And that's good news. So in order to have joy and maintain joy, because we have it. If you're born again, you have it. Because Jesus gave us the joy. Right? Amen. Jesus gave us the joy. So we have the joy. So in order to walk in that joy, there you go. Because we already have it. You don't have to go get it. Now, how do we walk in it? Amen. Yes. And so, again, going back to Sister April's comment a couple of weeks ago, you know, it's great to know about some promises to walk in. And to remember that we can hold on to during these times. So we began talking last week about some, just a tip of some of these eternal promises and realities. And so the first promise or reality that we talked about last week was the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. You may be all over the map. You know, family members just... all kind of ways. Ms. Shirley's getting all kind of phone calls. You can hardly even get to church, right? Got phone calls here and there. We hang on to the faithfulness of God. I mean, we just cling. Because we'll fall apart like a prayer tree, like just too much for us. Apostle Paul said, then when I weep, then he is strong. Faithfulness of God, again, is God's perfect loyalty and consistency in being true to his name, his character, and his words. Get saying it again. God's perfect loyalty and perfect consistency in being true to his name, his character, and his word. Is he not always true and loyal to his name, who he is, his character, what he's about, and his word that he has spoken? Is that not true? That's what you hold on to. God's faithfulness is an integral, which means vital and important and fundamental part of his nature. He is as faithful as he is good, as he is loving, as he is sovereign. He is as faithful as we are human. Can you get to that? We can't not be human. Well, he cannot be faithful, unfaithful rather. Does that make sense? As we are human, and we cannot be not human, where he is faithful, and he cannot be not faithful. Stand on the faithfulness of God. Stand on his loyalty and consistency in him being true to who he is. That's why you can trust his promises. He is eternally faithful, and so his promises are eternal. Because everything that he says from a faithful point of view is eternal and does not change. We read several scriptures on that. We'll briefly go over, we'll just write them down. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to focus on verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant." I know this is to his children of Israel in Deuteronomy 7, but it's to us too. He keeps his covenant and his chesed, his loving kindness, to a thousand generations. Would that not include us? Does he not keep his covenant with us? Is a covenant a promise? Is it something that cannot be broken? No wonder Hebrews 12:3, I think, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. It can be very hard to look away from your situations. And I grew up with the Gilead sisters, so I know they've had some situations that were very hard to look away from. But here they are here today. So it can be done. And you are here too. Look away from all that would distract to a God who is faithful, who keeps his covenant. Look at, no, just write it down. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentations verse 3, chapter 3, verse 22. The Lord's loving kindness, as I said again, indeed never cease. His loving kindnesses never cease. You hear that? His loving kindnesses never cease. They never cease. You got to say it three times before you begin to hear it. Because we're human, we just don't hear well. I'll say it four times. Loving kindness is indeed never cease. They never stop. No matter how we're feeling, no matter how crazy things are going, his loving kindness never ceases. For his compassions never fail. The reason that his loving kindness says, in the Hebrew, never cease, is because his compassions never fail. So you see how the two are linked. One never ceases because the other never fails. Verse 23, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's not just great. I mean, he's not just faithful, but great is his faithfulness. Philippians 1, 6, write it down, still reviewing. Philippians 1, 6. Philippians 1, 6. For I am confident, Apostle Paul speaking, confident of this very thing. How did he get confident? How did he get to that point of confidence? He had to know who his father was. Pastor Artley has encouraged us, the Lord has through him over and over again. We need to know who God is, first and foremost. You don't get to be confident of anything concerning God unless you're constantly working on your relationship with him. I mean, you're constantly in his word, meditating his word, and doing his word. Then we can say with Apostle Paul, for I am confident of this very thing. What is that? That he who began a good work in you will perfect, which means fully complete it, until the day of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means God is faithful. Meaning I started the work. I'm not going to leave you with orange barrels and yellow tape and wet cement. I'm going to finish the work. And what's the phase called when he finishes? Glorification. He's going to finish it. Recognize he's going to finish it. No matter how it feels that he's deserted me, it may feel that way, but we know he hasn't, because we just said that his loving kindness has never ceased and his compassions never fail, so he can't ever leave. Plus, he said, I'll never leave. He's still loving on you. No, I'm not going to be cold-hearted. The harder a challenge is, the more you're being tested as to the faithfulness of God. Sure. Sure. It depends on how well you know him, it's going to really throw you a little bit. Let a hard, hard test do two things. One, let it locate you, and then receive it and make the necessary adjustments. One, let it locate you. Be honest with it. When it's okay, just locating you. You thought you were here in me, but you're only here. And that's okay, because we're growing. We're growing grace. It's a process. He who began a good work began, meaning there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. So there's all that denotes process. We're always in process. Show us, Father. Show us. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. I will have you turn here. 2 Timothy 2:13. This is all review. It doesn't hurt to hear it again and again and again. 2 Timothy 2:13. We're talking about the faithfulness of God. And that's a promise you have to stand on. Stand on that. Stand on that. When everything is rocky around you, stand on it. Think about Miss Palmer. She's had to stand for her own life and for her family. Had to stand. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. You see that? If we are faithless, we lose faith, he remains. Notice the word remains. He's faithful in being faithful. He's perfectly faithful. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In order for him to be unfaithful, he'd have to deny who he really is. Remember, we just said he is intrinsically faithful, like we're intrinsically human. We cannot deny our humanity. He can't deny his faithfulness. Is somebody listening to this?
Yes.
Man, stand on that. Stand on that. That's why I get so exercised about prosperity preachers and some of the charismatic doctrine, because they're teaching everything's supposed to be sunny. And when things go haywire, your faith is lacking. You let the devil in. It's your fault. It ain't God who had nothing to do with that. I told you I'm embarrassing. I've told people that. But God has everything to do with that. We found out from his word, he's designated and elected and appointed us for hardships. He remains faithful. Hebrews 10:23, and we'll be through with faithfulness and move on to trustworthiness. Hebrews 10:23. Lord God, please help us to take this in, to ingest this, digest this, and really practically use this in our lives. Not just something we hear as a fact. We just gather information. That's not what we're doing. And it begins with information gathering. That's just the beginning. Let us ingest this word. Let's eat it like Jeremiah. Swallow it. Let it digest, spiritually speaking. Let us, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he, capital H, who promised, which is God, is faithful. He promised it, and he's letting know that the promiser is faithful to bring about what he has promised. Which leads us right into the second attribute you can rely on and depend on and meditate on, is the trustworthiness of God. The faithfulness of God is the first one. The second one is the trustworthiness of God. In other words, trustworthiness and faithfulness, as I said last time, are tied together with a very short string. They basically can say they're the same thing. The trustworthiness of God. You can trust him because he's faithful. And he's faithful because he's trustworthy. Does that not make sense? Still reviewing. You can write it down. Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Thank you, Lord. Men lie. Human beings lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. That is how much he can be trusted. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Yes, because I'm faithful and you can trust me. If I said it, I will do it. And if I've spoken it, I will make good on it. Why? Because he is an eternal God. That's what I'm telling you. These promises are eternal. They don't run out. There's no expiration date on it. Yes. Write it down. 1 Samuel 15:29. Still reviewing. 1 Samuel 15:29. Also, here's one of the names of God. The glory of Israel. That's one of his names. The glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. 1 Samuel 15:29. The glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind. God didn't say, well, I thought I could always protect you and keep you in your hard times. I thought that when you were weak, my strength would be made perfect in you. But I changed my mind. I'm not going to do that. That's not God. If he says to Apostle Paul, my strength is perfect in your weakness, then that's what he means. And that's an eternal promise. So every time we're weak, then we are strong. Nobody said amen, but that's true. It's true anyhow. Yes, I don't know about that one. Yeah, well, that's what it says. You know, since you got quiet on that one, let me show it to you. So they got real quiet. It got made me nervous. Huh? Let's go to, I got nervous on that one, Sister Palmer. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start with verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, since it got real quiet, I need you to eyeball that and highlight that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 8. Remember, the Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, he said that the first time, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, says it again, to keep me from exalting myself. That thorn came from God. The devil wants you to exalt himself. The devil wants you to exalt yourself. This did not come from the devil. It came from God. He said twice to keep me from exalting myself. Verse 8. Concerning this, as if you're awake, what is this? Take a moment. What's the this from verse 7? I pleaded with the Lord. What's the this? I know y'all awake out there. This would be from verse 7 would be the thorn in the flesh that was given to him. Okay? Some of you thought that, but you were scared to say it. Yeah. She said, yep. So, concerning this from verse 7, the thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord not once, not two, but three times that it might leave, that thorn might leave me. And he, the Lord God Almighty, his Father, said to me, my grace is sufficient and enough for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So I didn't make it up. There you go. This is the words of the Almighty God to his son, Apostle Paul. He got the revelation. He received it. Look at this. Most gladly, therefore. Therefore means as a result of what? My grace being sufficient and for the fact that God's power is perfected in my weakness. So most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell, live, and reside and take a residence in me. He goes on, therefore, as the power being perfected in me and his grace is sufficient, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults and distresses and persecutions and hardships for the sake of Christ, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because the power of God is perfected and made whole in my weaknesses. Do you really believe that? Or is that just a verse on the page? You have to answer that, but that's what you got to ask yourself. Do I really believe that? He is trustworthy. He will not lie, and he will not change his mind. Look at Titus chapter 1. You're near there. We're talking about the trustworthiness of God. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Still reviewing. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, so forth. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, the glory of Israel will not lie. Titus 1, 2 lets us know that he cannot lie. What does that mean? It's impossible for him to lie. In fact, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, which says that exact thing. Hebrews 6, look at verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 6, 18. Hebrews 6, 18. So that by two unchangeable things, which I think back up to verse 13, it's talking about the act of God making a promise and the act of God taking an oath. Those two things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We have taken refuge and so forth. By the impossibility for God, it is impossible for God to lie. We've taken refuge. Would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. It is impossible for God to lie. That's why it says, under the faithfulness of God, once he says it, it will come to pass, because he cannot lie. Look at one more. Joshua 21:45. Joshua 21:45. This is where we stopped last time. Joshua 21:45. Not one of the good promises. This is an incredible verse. Which the Lord had made to the house of Israel, or we could say not up today, to the household of faith, failed. Not one of the good promises which the Lord God had made to the household of Israel failed. All came to pass. Not one failed. That's good news. Look at one more. It won't be before you long. Let's look at the third. We talked about the faithfulness of God and then the trustworthiness of God. Let's talk about the presence of God. The presence of God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The presence of God. Not only is he faithful, not only is he trustworthy, but this faithful, trustworthy God is always there. Look at Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 5. Joshua chapter 5, verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Is that not possible for us today? That just as he was with Moses, he will be with us? Absolutely. He will not fail us nor forsake us, which means to leave us, turn his back on us, desert us. Skip down to verse 9. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, you know, that should be 1. Is that chapter 1, maybe? Try 1. I typed that wrong. So is that right, Joshua 1:5? Somebody find that.
Now came
the
and all kings and empires.
Joshua chapter
1.
Yeah, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I said 5:5. I'm sorry. I had a scripture written wrong. Yeah, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Can you use that promise today?
Yes.
The same God that was with Moses is the same God who's with us today. He will be with us. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us, desert us, turn his back on us, leave us. Skip down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. So, well, why all of that? Because what you're facing is going to be kind of rough. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. That's why. Wherever you go. Does that not sound like Psalm 23:4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of deep darkness, I will not fear because you are with me. Yes, the Lord your God is with you. He's ever present. Slide over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 28. Talking about the presence of God, the trustworthiness of God, the faithfulness of God, and now the presence of God. You can meditate on that. These are promises. Psalm 37, verse 28. 28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. See that? Forsake, which means take a leave of, to desert, turn his back on. He does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved how long? Forever. Two people reading. They are preserved how long? Wow, we, that's such enthusiasm. Lord, help us today. Forever. Woe is me. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. So he does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever. Isaiah 41 and 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I hope you're writing these down. You can print these out. Put them before your eyes. Isaiah 41 and 10, talking about the presence of God. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my right hand, my righteous right hand. Look at those promises. I might strengthen you. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will. Look at the surelys even. I will, surely, truly, sure enough, will do these three things. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Can you see why when we are weak, then he is strong? Yeah, because he's the one strengthening us. He's the one helping us. He's the one upholding us. Amen. Psalm 23. We read this. Let's read it again. Verses 3 and 4. Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 23, verse 3. Talking about the presence of God. He restores my nephesh soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If he's guiding, I mean, he's there with you, right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of deep darkness, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's guiding you in the path of righteousness, and he's with you in the valley of deep darkness. Matthew 28, verse 20. And I always have you turn to the obvious, because I never want you to get into the, and even for myself too, in the habit of thinking, oh, I know that verse. No, turn to it, eyeball it, act like you've never seen it before, and eat from this verse. Matthew 28, 20. Matthew 28, verse 20. Put your eyeballs on it. Matthew 28, verse 20. And it reads, talking about verse 19, making disciples, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you, how often?
Always.
Even to the end of the age, I'll never forsake you. I know you know it, but keep seeing that. I'm with you always. Look at John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 16. John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 16. As we get ready to close, John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, Jesus speaking, and he will give you another helper. Another one. So was not Jesus a helper for them while they were here on earth? Was he their helper? Yes, because he said, I'm going to give you another helper. Jesus was here bodily, so he only could be around where he was. He was there in body form. The Holy Spirit can be with all millions of his children at one time. What a blessing. He said, I'm going to send you another helper that he may be with you. How long?
Forever.
17 tells us who it is. That is the capital S, Spirit of Truth. So it is the Spirit of Truth is the he in verse 16. He's the helper in verse 16. That he may, the Spirit of Truth, be with you forever, whom the world, verse 17, cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. See, the Holy Spirit acted outside on. But once the day of Pentecost came, he dwelt in them. And that's why even how he was with Moses, he's even greater than Moses with us. Because Moses never, the Old Testament saint never understood or knew about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Knew about the external. But here he lives inside of us. That's something we just don't understand. We still want to go back to Moses day and see the Red Sea part and to those external miracles, but it's a miracle that he's living in. God is living in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's super incredible. Amen. And he's the Spirit of Truth, always guiding and coaching and leading. Hebrews 13, 5, and we'll close. Hebrews 13, 5. Yeah, he abides with you and will be in you. Because it wasn't long after when the day of Pentecost happened, that he began to live in them. Hebrews 13 and 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, For he personally himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Never desert you, and I'll never forsake you. Father God, help us to hold on to these truths. Meditate these truths. Get them deep down in our hearts. So as we walk through the valley of deep darkness, we can truly fear no evil. We can truly, as you have commanded us, to not be afraid, to be courageous and very courageous. Why? Because the Lord our God is right now, presently with us. And for that, we're forever grateful. We thank you, Father, for being an ever-present help in our time of trouble. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.